Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is William J. Murray, who went from being the son of America's best-known atheist, at least at the time. In fact, he was central in one of the major school prayer decisions, anti-school prayer decisions, going back to the 1960s. Well, fast forward to today, and he's a Christian evangelist who runs something called Religious Freedom Coalition, and it's great to have his testimony. William J. Murray, thanks so much for joining us on this program. I appreciate it.
Great to be back on with you, Jerry.
Sure. First of all, let's go back to your childhood, if you don't mind, since you were involved in that famous school prayer decision. Your mom was Madeline Murray O'Hare. How did you go from being the son of an atheist, a very well-known atheist, to becoming a Christian evangelist?
Well, first of all, Jerry, one of the things we have to recall here is that I was raised in a horribly, horribly dysfunctional family. And a lot of people think that this is just a, you have a, this woman was an intellectual atheist. She was an atheist because of a multi-generational dysfunctional family that she came from. And I was raised in a home that with dishes flying up against the wall, cops being called out from violence, constant profanity. And it wasn't much different from any other dysfunctional family that you have today, where people don't go to church. Except that my mother was, had a very, very far left leaning as well. She was associated with the communists. She was a manager of the Communist Party bookstore. And so she became and learned from that and was well trained enough to become very vocal. And she was very good at controlling and manipulating media. So that all rolled into something completely different than what people think it is. Now, like anybody else that comes from a dysfunctional home like that, whether it's their mother is an atheist who files lawsuits or whether their mother is a crack addict, it's the same kind of dysfunctional environment. And getting back out of that is very difficult, and the salvation is through the Lord. Because it's only turning to the Lord that you're going to wind up getting away from a situation that's multi-generational dysfunctional like that.
And I understand at one point your mom, even as a single mom, with you and your brother, or is it half-brother? Anyway, she wanted to emigrate to the Soviet Union, and that didn't work out. And then she discovered there was school prayer going on in your school, and that made her really mad.
Well, that is correct. She attempted to defect to the Soviet Union. They didn't want her. And she wanted to go to this perfect society, which, by the way, I worked in the Soviet Union later, and I can give you all the horrid details of it. This is just like Governor Newsom out in California. It's his whole woke society is what my mother wanted, except totally without capitalism as far as she was concerned. Capitalism was the ultimate evil. Money was the evil. Who needed a different type of car? Everybody could have the same type of car, which they did in Russia. Everybody had a lot of, if they could get one. And it was a pretty sorry situation, but it made her vocal, and it gave her a platform from which to work. And of course, as soon as she started to become very wealthy, being an atheist, that communism sort of vanished.
Huh. So, okay, you all went to the Soviet Union. I understand not only did they turn her away from her request to emigrate there, but they said something to the effect of, well, you could do maybe more damage to the cause, to the United States. You could do more for our cause, that is worldwide communism, by going back to your own country. Then she discovered school prayer was going on in your school in Baltimore. Tell us what happened then.
Well, after she discovered the prayer in school, this became her focal point. And you have to imagine the anger that existed there of desiring to go into this perfect utopian godless society and then discovering that her children were going to have to, endure listening to about God after she had been rejected by a godless society. I think it's a little bit of note that not even a godless society wanted her at the time. So it's a it was more or less an uphill spiral from her from there because of the amount of money she made off of it, and she wound up becoming quite wealthy until her habit of hiring convicted murderers to work for her on the cheap backfired, and one of them killed her. But anyway, wow. This is my life turned around. Of course, living out of that type of home. The people that come in, we read about people coming out of dysfunctional homes all the time. The inner city has plenty of people that are coming out in multi-generational dysfunctional homes, and we see the results from a lot of that. Some by the grace of God, like me, are saved. And many are not.
Well, the founders of America said that our rights come from God. We're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. In the 1950s, they adopted as a motto, "In God We Trust." But it's not like it came out of nowhere. It really comes out of the traditions, as I say, for example, in the Declaration of Independence itself. How did your mom feel about things like that? In God We Trust, One Nation Under God, we're endowed by our Creator with our rights.
Well, she filed lawsuits against any of them, but keep in mind, just like a lot of lawsuits that are filed today, they're filed with the knowledge that you can make money and raise money off of them. A lot of lawsuits filed by the far left and the far right are only filed as fundraising gimmicks. And with my mother, that happened to be the case. She filed a lawsuit against somebody, an astronaut praying in outer space, against In God We Trust, and against One Nation Under God, and several other lawsuits. But those were nothing more than fundraising ploys in order to get more money in through the door.
And what are your thoughts on the impact of the school prayer decision in light of the fact the Supreme Court agreed with your mom and I guess you were the plaintiff in the whole case. What's been the fallout from removing school prayer in our nation's schools?
Well, you know that we were on a trajectory, and a lot of people blame that the school prayer decision for where we are today. But the reality is, we were on a trajectory, and this is where we were going. And my mother did not cause the times; she was a product of the times. And everybody that looks back on this and says, "Oh, it was a Leave It to Beaver world before Madeline Murray O'Hare," you know, I guess they've forgotten the LSD freaks and the love-ins in San Francisco and Woodstock and the racial rights. It's all throughout America and the Kent State and the riot at the Chicago Democratic Convention. They've forgotten all of that. It was all Leave It to Beaver society and Madeline Murray O'Hare changed it. That wasn't the case. The society was turning rotten at the core and has continued to turn rotten to the core. And she was part of the trajectory of that, not the cause of it.
Well, one of our key founding fathers, John Adams, once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." What are your thoughts on that particular statement and that sentiment?
Well, take a look at the woke society we have today, and that goes into the trash. In fact, I would dare you to try to put that up on Facebook. You'd probably have it kicked off, or you'd be kicked off Facebook, unless if you did not show it as a direct quote. If you showed it as your opinion, we have to remember that the ideals that he held, the ideals of President Adams, have been thrown into the trash, right along with the ideals of Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, the idea of racial equality is gone. Now it's everybody should have separate and not even equal. You know, there are certain racial groups that are bad by the color of their skin, certain that are good by the color of their skin. You know, certain people by the type of sex they have, that makes them better people than other people. All of those ideas of what is righteous in the eyes of God all of that has been trashed by just a super woke society that is driven by a bunch of snowflakes that can't compete in the world because they can't face any ideas contrary to their own.
Well, what difference does God make in our public life? I mean, for example, you say that you worked in the Soviet Union. What was that like? And the Soviet Union, by the way, was explicitly anti-God. I mean, it was in their key, you know, everything, at every level. But tell us about that.
And oddly enough, today Russia is the defender of the faith in the United States as the country that is working as fast as it can to destroy the Bible. The two positions have changed. Look, Russia is still suffering from being a godless society for three generations. The alcoholism rates, the abortion rates, the inability for a businessman to be honest, all of those traits came out of a godless society. And the question is, does America really want that? And apparently the answer today, unfortunately, particularly among our leaders, is yes. America, that's what America wants.
Wow. Well, okay, fast forward to today as far as your own life, and you're now involved in fighting for religious freedom and even helping the persecuted church. I understand some terrible things have happened recently to Christians in Nigeria. Tell us about that.
Our orphanage in Nigeria was overrun. 147 students, the children were run off. All the buildings were burned. Many people in the immediate neighborhood were killed. Hundreds of homes were destroyed. Five churches were burned. Our orphanage was burned out by the Sunni Muslim Fulani herdsmen. It's just one of many attacks there. The persecution of the Christians in Nigeria is being ignored, just like the persecution of the Christians in the Middle East. And this, again, you talk about our godless society. We consider one of our greatest allies the Sunni Muslim-run Saudi Arabian monarchy/dictatorship that has indiscriminately bombed Yemen, sends assassins out all over the world, and financed 9/11. And we consider them our great ally. When you have a society that's so godless that money and oil mean more than righteousness, this is exactly what we get. And yes, we are working. We have managed to move our children. We work in the Middle East with the Christians that have been forced to flee Iraq, Christians that have been forced to flee Syria, and we continue to work with them. The Christians are the most persecuted minority in the world today. Probably the next one after that are the Shia Muslims. And the number one perpetrator of the persecution against Christians is Sunni Muslims.
Wow. We have about 20 seconds left. I'll give you a website. It's religiousfreedomcoalition.org. Does believing in God make a difference to society? The closing thought in 20 seconds, please.
I think that Americans that think that they don't need God are going to find out that they are looking through a broad window of wealth and opportunity, and as they get older and the situation changes and that window gets smaller, they're going to realize that the window to escape from God wasn't there at all.
William G. Murray, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Jerry.
Bye-bye now.